Hey, this is Jackson Fong, Student Ministries Pastor here at Community Church of Susanville, CEFC. We are looking at, or actually you're listening to, audio devotional from week one, and this one is session number five, The Me That Fails to Be. Again, this is part of the series called The Me I Want to Be by John Ortberg. And what we're doing is we're just taking a look at some of the ideas that he brings up and that we talk about on Wednesday nights. And we're going to compare that to some of the biblical passages that we have available to us. And we're going to talk about how that affects us and what that means for us today. So here we go. Actually, before we do that, why don't we go ahead and pray and make sure that God is connected with what we're doing. Dear God, thanks so much for today. And as we continue this series on the me that I want to be, we want to be people that reflect you. We want to be the best that we were created to be, which is really what you created us to be. So as we look a little bit more about that, help us to know what's okay, where we are, what we need to do, what we need to work on, how we need to be or be better. So give us a great rest of the day, God, and speak to us. We ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's session is called The Me That Fails to Be. It's the idea that I don't feel very excited about life because I am exhausted and unmotivated. And sometimes when we look at our failings, when we look at our shortcomings, we kind of don't want to go on. We kind of feel shortchanged. We kind of feel gypped. We kind of just want to give up. Sometimes life is so overwhelming that we can't think about the future. We can barely think about today. Sometimes we're stuck on feeling about what we're feeling right then and right now. And if you're having a tough day or a tough time, I want to strongly encourage you that it's going to be okay. And I want to give you a strong example that today we're going to look at 1 Kings chapter 19. And 1 Kings chapter 19, we're going to read about this guy named Elijah. Now, Elijah's a prophet in the Old Testament. And he's a prophet that did a lot of different things in regard to the Israelites and other countries and a lot of different things. But in this particular passage, we see that Elijah's come from some amazing instances, some really high highs of some amazing parts where he saw God do some amazing things, and some amazing low lows where he had his life threatened, and he was chased, and he was feeling very alone. Starting off in chapter 19, verse 1, when King Ahab got home, he told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, including the way he had killed all the prophets of Baal. So Jezebel sent this message to Elijah: "May the gods strike me down and even kill me if by this time tomorrow I have not killed you as you killed them." Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judah, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone to the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down under a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life, for I am no better than my ancestors who had already died." You know, so often we can feel like we failed. And even though we might have come from something amazing, and even though there might be people around us that encourage us or are there for us, sometimes we still feel alone. And Elijah does here in this passage. And he's wiped and he's exhausted and he's tired. Let's read on and let's see what else he does. In verse 5, "Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, 'Get up and eat.' He looked around and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again." You know, sometimes sometimes there's so much going on, we can't really do anything. And sometimes just we shut down. I think one of the things that's cool and very, very encouraging to me in this passage is that Elijah, what he does is he sleeps. And then he's told to get up and eat. And then he lays down again. Verse 7. Then the angel of the Lord came again and touched him and said, get up and eat some more, for the journey ahead of you, or else the journey ahead of you will be too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to travel 40 days and 40 nights to Mount Sinai, the mountain of God. There he came to a cave where he spent the night. Again, the idea that sometimes we don't have to go and do anything else. We don't have to be anything else. Sometimes we just need to be able to rest. The idea of having times where we struggle, where we're doubt, where we are exhausted, when we're just unmotivated, when we feel useless and helpless and sometimes even worthless. For better or for worse, we're not alone. You're not alone. There are plenty of times when I feel that way. Whether it be in ministry or with family or with friends or keeping up with things. Ugh. But you know, it's okay. Even though we may fall short on different things, there are times where God just simply wants us to rest, and it's okay. In this passage, we see that Elijah takes time to rest multiple times. He takes time to eat a couple times. And when he gets to this cave, he rests again. As we continue in the passage, it says, but the Lord said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Elijah replied, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Go out and stand before me on the mountain, the Lord told him. As Elijah stood there, the Lord passed by, and a mighty windstorm hit the mountain. It was such a terrible blast that the rocks were torn loose, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the sound of a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And a voice said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He replied again, I have zealously served the Lord God Almighty, but the people of Israel had broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars, and killed every one of your prophets. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Then the Lord told him, go back the same way you came, and travel to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive there, anoint Hazael to be king of Aram. Then anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, to be king of Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from the town of Abel-Meholah, to replace you as my prophet. Anyone who escapes from Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and those who escaped you will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will preserve 7,000 others in Israel who have never bowed down before Baal or kissed him. Here's something to remember. In the midst of this time frame, Elijah was struggling and he vented. You know, some people might think he was complaining. He was expressing how he felt all alone and his struggle. You know that you're not alone. And know that God will provide for you. Sometimes it takes longer than we want, but He will. Just like He did here. If you want to read more about people that struggled with that feeling, read about David in Psalms chapter 27. You can also read more in Psalm 74. For additional stuff, you can check out cefcyouth.com. Know you're loved, and you never have to be alone. It's going to be okay. God bless.